Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind, you'll never catch up. You got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter Podcast. This is Julia Lejean. It's my pleasure to introduce you to my guest for today. Her name is Claire Ashman from Queensland. She's an aspiring author, TEDx speaker, an anti-cult activist, and an incredibly brave woman. Hello, Claire. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Julia. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you doing this interview.
Can you please share with our listeners a little bit about your background?
Okay, my background. I was brought up very strict Catholic and I was homeschooled, eldest of nine children. Then I left home at 18, married young because I felt lost and insecure due to my upbringing. Too late did I realize that my husband believed in end of world theories and wanted to move to what he considered would just be a lovely Catholic community with, you know, all sharing similar beliefs and working towards self-sufficiency because the world was going to end. And after a few years in that community, I read a book and I suddenly realized I was actually in a cult, and the cult leader was eventually jailed for pedophilia. My children and I were safe though, so there was nothing happened to us. We were evicted, so I spent a total of 10 years in there, and then we were evicted because I asked too many questions. Subsequently, I was divorced, and because my husband had mental health issues and also was a gambler, and then I spent the next 8 years being a solo mum of bringing up 8 children on my own.
Wow, 8 children.
Mm-hmm, 8.
That's a lot of kids.
Yes, it is.
Did you walk away from the cult because your leader went to jail or because you woke up and realized it wasn't what you wanted?
First of all, we moved there in early 1997 and I never wanted to go. But I was forced to go because I had no self-confidence, no self-esteem. I had no access to money because my husband and I never shared a bank account. And I was also, because I was brought up very strict Catholic, I was guilted and pressured into, you know, being the good submissive wife and obeying her husband. So we moved there early 97, and then in early 2000, I figured out, like through various events that I'd put together, that it was actually a cult and that he was a pedophile. And I did not want to have anything to do with it and I wanted to move out, but my husband said no. So I could say that it was a series of enlightening events and also my own gut. I did read a book called The Beautiful Side of Evil, which is a true story about a cult in America, and I could see the parallels and I just wanted to have nothing more to do with it.
Was it tough to turn your back on those people? Did you have to face life-threatening threat or intimidation, etc.?
Look, they tried the whole fear thing in that, you know, I was like the devil incarnate and, you know, they told other members not to talk to me and all the rest of it. But you know what? I'd had a gutful and I reached a point where I didn't care. So I just mentally disassociated myself. And then I would still say hi to people. I mean, if they turned their face away, which they did, you know, they'd ignore me and turn their face away. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't care. And I'm lucky enough in the way that I'm not threatened, that there isn't anything really that they can do. So I can speak out safely. And like, I mean, even if they did threaten me, really, I'm just past that.
How hard is it to raise 8 children on your own?
It wasn't easy because for me, I got married I'd basically been homeschooled, brought up at home with no TV, magazines, outside friends, anything like that. Got married young at 18 and a half. So I'd never had a single life. I found it difficult, very difficult. But you know what? I was a kid's stability and security because their father chose not to have anything to do with them. So it was the kids and me, and I literally put one foot in front of the other and I just made it happen. You just have to, you know.
You mentioned that your husband chooses not to communicate with your kids, so they have no interaction and connection with him whatsoever. How are your children coping with the fact that they vary on father wanted nothing to do with them?
Well, because he has mental health issues, and then he also, well, he blamed me for the breakup of the marriage rather than actually look at it as being, you know, partly his fault as well. He, like, for him, it's just all in the too hard basket to have an actual relationship with the kids. So, you know, like, some people say that's sad, but you know what? In a lot of ways, it's just a lot easier for me and for them.
Yeah. It's better to keep the children away from parents that have severe mental issue. Otherwise, they can cause serious damage to their mental well-being. I had been there, and I know the damage it could cause.
It is. And I mean, I put them all through counselling because I wanted them to, you know, if they had issues to talk about, they could talk about it in a safe way. And I mean, I really wanted to meet my soulmate. So I did meet him almost 4 years ago, and we got married last year. He is a wonderful stepdad. And so, you know, that makes up for it.
So from my understanding, you were in the cult twice. How did that happen?
With both of them, I didn't have a choice, because with the first one, I was actually brought up in a very cultish manner, and I call that a cult because when I was four, I'm the eldest of nine kids, but when I was four, my mum kind of went backwards and wanted to bring us up very strictly Catholic, so we went from being normal Catholics to being ultra religious, where we didn't wear, like, we didn't wear shorts or jeans or T-shirts. We had to be covered from neck down to our ankles or three-quarter length down to our elbows. We had no access to any media like TV, magazines, newspapers, radio. We were only allowed to listen to classical music. The only people that we could associate with were people in our church group. So it was very strict. And so when I left home, I did feel very lost. And so I didn't realize it at the time. I've only come to realize it later, because that group was a sect within, it was initially within the Catholic Church, but it's since been excommunicated, and it's got a lot of little broken away factions within it. So it is actually considered a cult. And then obviously the second cult was where, you know, my husband actually forced me to go. And that was one of Australia's biggest doomsday cults.
What positive lesson had you learned from being a cult member or being in that type of environment?
Yeah, for me, I will see now, I have given two TED Talks so far regarding helping, like, the prevalence of cults in our society, helping the wider world to recognize cults, and also to help the wider world have more understanding and empathy towards those who are leaving cults and able to start up fresh in the world. And for me, there's a lot of lessons that I learned. I learned to listen to my gut. I learned to be independent. I learned to stand up for myself. I learned to survive. I learned to be independent. I learned that, you know, people might say no, but there's always another way around it. I was never somebody to just sit in the corner and feel sorry for myself. I'm not saying that I never, you know, felt sometimes despair and then just went into the cupboard and cried, but I did. But the thing was that, you know, I'd go in there and think, oh, you know, what the hell am I going to do now? And, you know, have a bit of a cry, but then it was like, okay, I've got the tears out, and I come out all guns blazing, you know, like, there has to be a way around this somehow. And I did.
That's wonderful. So for a clueless person like me that absolutely have no idea how to tell or spot a cult, what kind of signs should I be looking out for and to make sure that I'm not caught up in this kind of group?
Well, cults can come, cults aren't always religious, and they can come under, they can present quite a few forms. I mean, often they can be religious, and you can have religious cults, and then you can have ultra religious cults that actually believe in end of world theories and or conspiracy theories. So you can have those ones. You can also have personal development groups that are very cultish. You can have, other people who have, there can be like professors or lecturers that have a new train of thought or a new spin on something or are into conspiracy theories. What I say, you know, you can even have Bible, you know, like Bible groups. So there's two sorts of cults. Like I was in, the second cult was a closed cult. So you're actually in a, you know, on a property behind barbed wire fences and you're taught to think that everything about the outside world is bad and all the rest of it. Or you can have open cults where, you know, like say a Bible group where you can appear to live and work normally, but you've got this like secret life behind closed doors. But to recognize cults, they're usually a bit more of a secretive group. You usually have a narcissistic leader who likes to always be right and likes to be, you know, he or she has to be the leader. They don't like anybody asking questions. They usually have, they may not call it an inner circle, but they usually have an inner circle, or you'll see some favorites, some people who are blindly loyal and will not accept any questioning. You'll find that also you know, if you're in such a group or you've been introduced to such a group, you can test the waters a little bit by asking some questions. And if you can see that they don't like the questions or they don't like you questioning anything that they've said or even presenting a different train of thought, or you find you can also test the waters by seeing who will backstab you, because you often find in those groups that you cannot trust anybody, because you might innocently ask a question and then you'll find that there are people that will backstab you or put a new twist on what you said and get you into trouble. There's all those signs to look out for. And you'll find too that they they're secretive. A lot of them are secretive. And even though they might be small, I tell people that even though they might, you know, it might be only supposedly a few people meeting in a house somewhere, they nearly always have a big web of followers, you know, from all around the world.
What advice do you have for our listeners today, Claire?
See, I can give general advice, but when each cult is different. Like for me, I can safely speak out because the cult that I was in, well, both cults, they can talk a whole lot of hogwash, but they won't do anything. So I might get some hate mail or anything like that, but there will be no life-threatening anything else. With some other cults, though, it can be people do have to be careful with the way they exit. And one of the things that I always say is that family members find it very difficult when they have their loved ones in a cult or join a cult, and they get very worried and they try to, like, they initially they stay in contact and then they go like, oh, you know, you're in a cult, get out. That doesn't do anything. You need to still stay in contact because when you want to leave, you want to be able to have that one person that always stayed in contact with you but didn't attack you, didn't actually, you know, keep asking you, when are you moving out of there? It's a cult, you know. You need people, your friends and family still need to stay in contact so that then when you do want to move out, you know you can trust them and you know that they won't say, see, I told you so, because there's nothing worse than that. And like I said, some cults are dangerous and it's not easy to leave them. That's why it's very important that the families and loved ones stay in contact and present themselves as non-threatening so that when the person or people want to leave the cult, they can actually rely on those people to safely get them out. It's a very gradual process though, because I mean, you've got to remember it was gradual to go in and these people have been manipulated. So it's going to be gradual in coming out. And it's got to be taken as two separate things, because coming out of a cult and then restarting your life, there's a lot in between there. You know, like there's a lot of, because when you come out, there's a lot of, you know, you've got to question, you'll be questioning all your beliefs, you'll be questioning absolutely everything. When I came out, and I mean, of the second cult, I was 36 years old. I had 8 kids in tow, aged 16 down to 2. I had never questioned my beliefs. I had never had a single life. I struggled because on one hand, I've got 8 kids and I'm their stability and their security. And I'd been brought up Catholic, so I still took them to church, even though Claire, me as Claire, was asking questions going like, what the hell is this? I don't believe in this anymore. What do I believe? How do I test this? See, now I class myself as spiritual but not religious. I do pray to God in my own way. And when I say God, it's just God for me. It can be karma, universe, higher power, whatever you want to call it. But it took me a long time to actually sift through everything and question my beliefs, find what suited me, learn to be independent, learn what I didn't like and what I did like. And I mean, even for the dating scene, it was really hard for me because I'd never dated before. So I didn't know what I was looking for. I had to, you know, just basically go out on dates and just go, that's no good. You know, and it was very much a trial and error process, but with 8 kids in tow.
So before we go, Claire, what else would you like to share with our listeners?
Don't be in a hurry to join any group. And I'm not just talking about a cult. Take some time to really know yourself, to sit with yourself, to allow your feelings and thoughts to come up and about all sorts of different things and think about it, dwell on it and find what's true for you, which is not the same as anybody else. And you know, if you choose to join any group, you know, like go in with an open mind and don't be afraid to, you know, like spend the time to listen, because when you listen to what people say in these groups and you will start to hear that they will contradict themselves, and it's often very subtle, but you've got to listen for it. You've got to be open to it. And you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. And if you're asking questions and they get angry, or, you know, they tell you that you don't understand and you've just got to believe with blind faith, that's the time to walk away. And, you know, if you don't know, you may not know the answer to what you're seeking right now. That's okay, because it takes time. And for me, like I said before, I've been out of the second cult for 10 years and I'm still uncovering things about myself. And in doing my TED Talks, my speaker coach has been wonderful in, you know, helping me to research and asking lots of questions so that I would be, you know, I would research even more, because I've lived my life and I can understand it. But in trying to present it to other people, I've got to learn to be clear. And in doing that, I'm learning new things and I'm going, wow, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that this and this equals that, that this was actually very cultish. So it takes time to actually know yourself. And don't be afraid if you don't know the answer right now. It'll come in time. And learn to just be uncomfortable sometimes, because being uncomfortable is a good thing, because it just teaches you to open up to something else. And you don't need to join these groups to feel whole. You can be quite a unique square on the outside.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on my show and for sharing your life story with us today. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Julia.
Bye, Claire.
See you. Bye.
Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you again from the next podcast. Bye for now.